You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kanye West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
Radio, thank you so much for giving us the privilege of your time. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and I'm sitting here with Peacemaker Kevye West and the Swami, Christian from Philly, and showing up right on time, Albert Infected. Give it up for the unusual. What's going on, guys? How you doing tonight?
Yo, yo, yo.
Me.
Hello.
Hey. I noticed we have some trucks for sale that showed up. Kevye, yeah. you're selling some trucks.
Selling my truck?
From your ranch or something? I don't know, Kevye. Of course, obviously.
Ranch.
I sent, maybe not, maybe I sent the wrong number, but,
oh, yeah, that's
what's going on here?
I got you. You were texting us in the group earlier, you're texting your other podcast?
Yeah, that's
truck
what it
podcast.
Is. That's exactly what it is. Hey, dude, so we got a great show tonight, and let's get right to it. Albert Infected, how you doing tonight, man?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. A little behind on everything. That's why I called right on time. But you know what? I'm in for a good show. I got a lot to talk about. I've been watching highlights from both Raw and AEW Dynamite. And let me just say that I'm, you know, my attitude towards WWE as of late seems to be shifting a little bit from last night's Raw. So I guess we'll get to that a little bit later. But just enjoying and putting in some referrals from TexasSolarNow.com. TexasSolarNow.com. Need solar panels, roofing, whatever it is, go to TexasSolarNow.com. I got to throw that out there real quick.
TexasSolarNow.com. Right on. The Swami, what's going on? Christian from Philly, Philadelphia.
I'm freezing my nuts off. It's fucking cold over here.
Already? Fuck.
Fucking.
For real?
Yeah, for real. 49 degrees over here.
We're supposed to get some of that shit sometime soon. Sometime
Fuck,
soon.
Be prepared, boys. Be prepared, boys. It's really bad
this
year.
I want some 49 degrees over here in San Antonio, man. We had some cool breeze in the morning, but let me tell you, the afternoon got a little steamy. I'm assuming it was the same in Houston, okay?
Yeah. It was all right.
Are you okay?
That was great timing there, Albert. Great timing. But I digress. Yeah, man.
What's great timing?
The segue. The segue was great timing. So watching a little Astros baseball tonight. Astros get their asses handed to them. However, they are not in the Astrodome. They are in the juice box. And it looks like it's not going to happen this year for the mighty Astros. But the Braves, nevertheless, are having a great time right now. If you're a Braves fan right now, congratulations. You're having a fucking hell of a time right now. Christian?
Well, they did do a good comeback at the last game, so I'll give the Astros that. They did a great comeback.
If anybody could come back 6-0 with, you know, whatever three innings or two innings, whatever the hell's left, it's the Astros. But I'm starting to get highly suspect that that will happen.
You
but
know
I
what? Who was the guy that hit the home run over the fucking out of the stadium earlier? That was pretty cool.
Was it Solaire?
That was earlier tonight.
Yeah, it was earlier tonight. It went over the tracks at Minute Maid. It was like 460 feet or something like that. But,
yeah,
dude,
those tracks are far, man. Those tracks are like out there, bro. They're like, what, are they like across the parking lot or something?
Yeah, well, then no, they're actually not on the parking lot side. However, they are very far. And not only that, it's high. I mean, you know, shit, you got to hit that motherfucker over the track, which is, you know, and immediately after that is the outside of the park. So, but yeah, if you're a Braves fan right now, you're having a great time, and congratulations to you. So let's move on. Wrestler birthdays, guys, Charmel and Darren Young have a birthday today. Charmel and Darren Young. Also, Sameer Singh from the Singh brothers. Sameer Singh. I can't ever tell them apart, but I know they were entertaining to me. I like those guys. Happy birthday to all of them wherever they're at right now. Tomorrow, Don Marie and Cameron. And also Andrade Cien Almas tomorrow. And we'll talk about him later on in the show. He had a funny segment I'd like to talk about. Alexander Wolf on the 5th, as well as Allison Kay and Hiroyo Matsumoto. Brutus Magnus and Nick Aldis on the 6th. And King Kong Bundy on the 7th. King Kong Bundy. You guys remember King Kong Bundy? I remember him from back in the World Class Championship Wrestling days and shit.
My favorite was he showed up on Married with Children. You guys remember that? He was Al Bundy's cousin.
Oh, that's man, funny. No, I don't. I'm sure Elizabeth would remember that.
Yeah, I maybe remember that. I might be thinking of when Vader was on Boy Meets World, though.
I remember King Kong Bundy being a fucking loser, you know?
As a loser?
Yeah, but he was entertaining.
Yeah, he was entertaining.
Anybody
was
else?
Anybody
you didn't see him before he got to that point, though. You missed him in some other runs that he had. He had some runs where he was frightening. He was booked as a real bad nightmare guy. But, yeah, so King Kong Bundy. Also, Joey Ryan.
Ew.
That's that porn star, right?
Yeah, he's blacklisted. He's blacklisted in the wrestling community.
Oh, he is?
His birthday's the 7th?
The 7th, yeah. King Kong Bundy and Joey Ryan.
My birthday.
And that would be...
Y'all.
Yay. November 7th.
I'll take King Kong Bundy
over. Kanye West.
Hey.
Also, we need to book you against Joey Ryan.
I've like been at a couple of shows with him there, and I never took the popsicle or the lollipop from him, but I've been there whenever he like put the lollipop in the dude's mouth and stuff. Who's
oh my god!
I liked him
no.
before oh, all the allegations. But hey, it's a new era. 2022 is going to be the uncanceling era. We're going to uncancel everybody. Kanye's leading the way. He's getting Marilyn Manson on his team. They're going to scoop up Joey Ryan on the way. Bryan Adams is coming. Who else needs some uncanceling? Madonna, I think, said some dumb shit over the weekend, so get her. And they're going to go on a world tour, and we're just going to uncancel all the celebrities. It'll be great.
Yeah, yeah. We got Ric Flair and Tommy Dreamer. You know, we got a bunch of guys, but you know. I'm all for that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, give everybody a second chance. We'll start new. Don't fuck up anymore. Don't say anything stupid. Don't do anything stupid. And
except for Ric Flair. Except
like
for Ric Flair.
The grandfather into, like, the old ways. Like,
hey,
okay,
I'm all about it, man. I'm all about it. Everybody gets a lollipop. Everything is unicorns and rainbows. President Trump comes back to fucking regain his presidency that he never lost.
His crown.
I'm all about it.
No, that's never
going
to happen.
I'm fucking all about it, guys.
That's never going to happen, but you know.
I'm all about it, baby. But I digress. Also with some birthdays, November 8th, which is next Monday. You had Ted DiBiase Jr., who's in a fucking heap of shit right now. DiBiase are in a heap of shit right now, guys. I don't know if you've heard or not. Recently, there was some further action taken against them, I guess, a week or two ago. And they're going to go down.
Like
I don't know.
Family business or something? That, I forget.
They were embezzling money, no less. So
yeah.
It's a white-collar crime, but nevertheless, it is a crime.
Soon
and, you know, they shall do their time.
They're going to be called the he's going to be called the – soon his father is going to be called the destitute man because he's going to be broke.
And also Bearcat, Keith Bearcat Lee on the 8th.
Again.
And
who
here's
does,
one. I have no idea
you
who please. It is. But you guys might. Kazuchika Okada.
Okada, the guy from New Japan, he's been their champ. He fought with Kenny Omega a few years back, put on a big match. Everybody was talking about.
He's one of the faces. He's one of the faces of New Japan. So.
That's cool. I got a cool birthday right there next to those guys. I'll take those guys.
Christian, you want to sing them out?
Happy birthday.
Do good
to
one,
you.
It's my birthday.
Happy birthday to you. You're all are fucking relevant except for Cavier. Happy birthday to you. His birthdays are better than all yours.
Right. And Cavier, once again, Saturday, right? Saturday? No, wait a minute.
Sunday.
Yeah, Saturday the 6th. Sunday the 7th. Happy birthday, Cavier West.
Wait a minute. Happy birthday, Kevin. Happy birthday, Kevin. But I find it very odd that you're a Scorpio. You don't act like a Scorpio. You're very nice.
He's a post Scorpio.
I see these Scorpio memes all the time talking about how toxic they are. And then there's this other thing where like Scorpios aren't supposed to get along with each other, but like most of my friends and my direct circle of good friends are all Scorpios. So it's kind of weird. That's all bullshit. It's all the work.
Yeah, it's
the
work.
There you go.
No, you did. You should have eaten it all.
There's an excuse for it all, too. Like, not to go too far off the rails, but there's supposed to be, like, a Scorpio that is, like, the friendly, protective Scorpio. I had some palm reader tell me that one time. She was like, no, you're the one who watches over your friends and blah, blah. I'm like, bitch. But I digress.
Moving on.
You might have a new moniker, sorry. You might have a new moniker.
What are you, a fucking Virgo?
Scorpio?
The friendly Scorpio.
Scorpio, Kevin.
Friendly Scorpio.
I'm a Gemini.
A Gemini who?
Scorpio like the singer, dude.
Woo! I'm a Gemini. That's my thing.
A Jimmy who?
A Gemini.
I got you, bro. So yeah, happy birthday to
Gemini
everyone.
Heart.
And
Gemini heart.
Yeah, Gemini hugs for everyone. It's it was a long time ago, guys. A very, very long time ago, getting to this day in wrestling history, if you will.
What?
It was a very long time ago, 20 some odd years ago. 20 some odd years ago. I think I have an intro for this. All right. So yeah, November 2nd. And this was 16. No, not 16.
It was 20 years ago, you said.
21.
No, it
22.
It was 22 years ago. Kevier, spot on. 22 years ago from this report. This, and you know what? This is one of the things, man. WWE probably wants to skip November 2nd because it was not a good day in their history.
Well, what was it?
So it was 23 years ago, actually. What happened was a hardcore championship was introduced on Raw's War from right here in Houston, Texas, with Mankind being awarded the title. Now, Mankind would lose the championship for just four weeks later to the Big Boss Man and never win it back. Isn't that fucked up? He never won it back.
Not really. Who cares about the
He went
not there. Really.
Nevertheless, in a side bit of trivia, guys, after losing the previous week in the head-to-head ratings against against Nitro, Raw finally won again, and they had a 4.8 to a 4.1. Now, after that, Raw would never relinquish the advantage, winning 125 straight weeks until WCW was sold in March of 2001.
Well, that had to been the same night Mick Foley won the world title then, because that's the only reason they won.
That's the night that they sold it. That's the night that they told him on Nitro that they were gonna that Mick was gonna win.
Yeah, I mean,
it was definitely
not because
that's what caused it.
Yeah, I mean
he did. He won the title. He won the title from The Rock.
Remember, this
and,
was also the same night. This was also the same night they had the finger poke of doom on the same night. They fucked the whole WCW fans over, and that's the reason why the fucking – that's one of the reasons why they switched channels, because they were fucked over by that stupid fucking finish.
They were fucked over right here in Houston, baby. They were fucked over.
No, they weren't. Houston got the good show.
WCW was fucking their fans over, like, over in California.
No, it wasn't in California. That's not even the fucked up part. It wasn't even in California. It was in the hometown of Goldberg, Atlanta, Georgia, in the Georgia Dome.
Yeah. That's crazy, too. Man, I wonder, I mean, those guys, I mean, I don't wonder because I've heard so many podcasts where they talk about this shit, where Bischoff talks about it, but, like, you got to be kicking yourself in the ass for the rest of your fucking life to be Bischoff or Ted Turner or these motherfuckers, just to let it get that out of hand to where they can fucking kill it so quick like that. You said 150 weeks? That's, like, I mean, that's still a long time, but shit, I mean.
Ted Turner didn't give a shit. I think Ted Turner was already, like, out of everything by that time.
3-2.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Bischoff,
I just
yeah.
mean whoever the powers that be, the people that okayed that kind of shit, like.
Area code 832.
To be Hogan and to act like it's not your fault and shit like this, like, there's a group of people that are responsible for a lot of people losing their jobs and, like, a whole industry being damaged because of them.
Caller, you're on the air, Fatal 4 Radio.
Yo.
Yo.
What's up, guys? This is Jaime Martinez.
Jaime,
Bubba
Wrestling.
What's up, buddy? Hey, what's going on?
Can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me?
Jaime Martinez. Hold on. Loco. Get loco tonight.
I just want to ask a real quick question. Can y'all hear me? Am I, like, muzzled a little bit?
No, you sound clear.
All right, cool. I really appreciate it, guys. I just wanted to go on and say I'm a Virgo. I like long walks on the beach.
There you go.
I like indie wrestling.
On Virgos.
And I like Jack in the Crack tacos, dog. You know what I mean? So.
They're $2 for $3 right now.
But anyways, guys, what's going on?
Oh,
not a lot, man. Talking wrestling history right now.
Yeah, we're talking.
We've been seeing all the stuff going on with you guys, though.
I see y'all conversating about that, but what do y'all think about the landscape of, like, indie wrestling, dog? Like, Jesus Christ, dog. Like, everybody's going hard to the pain. I don't know if y'all see all the flyers of the indie and the independents right now, but there's some amazing cards out there right now.
For
and
sure.
I'm sure
that
local
indie wrestling
has
that
got
follow
one
on
coming
Facebook
up, brother.
Is...
Tell us about it, man. Tell us about it. What is local wrestling got coming up?
Okay, Local Wrestling presents The Good, The Bad, and The Fake, November the 20th. Guys, dude, we got a fucking sick-ass card. We got Dante Leon versus Joe Alonzo for the Local Heavyweight Championship. We got Roxy versus, not Roxy from, like, Ring of Honor, but Roxy from Puerto Rico versus Sadika in the Local Rules match. We got Say Sin versus Mickey Knuckles in a Local Rules match. Lowrider versus Drago. Brian Keith versus Robert Morris. Ninja Mac versus Alex Zane. Sam Stackhouse versus Mysterious Q. ASF versus Chris Carter. And Prince Canoe and Haywire versus La Raza Inquieta. And then you got Gino Raxo in a scramble match. Gino Raxo, Danny Chance, Izzy James, and Tud Arabia. So that's going on November 20th at Local Wrestling.
Man, I like that song.
You know, I'm a big Sadika mark, dude. I fucking love Sadika. Also, dude, I'm surprised. I don't think I've ever seen Brian Keith on one of y'all's shows. This is the first time I'm looking at, dude. I love that guy, man. That guy's fantastic.
Oh, actually, he worked our last event, Reggie.
Okay.
And he teamed up with Ray Fury, and they were in an NWA tag team title match with Mega Wolf and Best.
Yeah, believe it or not, man, I saw him wrestling in D-ville, the small town where I'm from, about maybe like 5 or 6 years ago. Dude, the guy was a great fucking heel, man. That guy's a great heel. He's a great in-ring performer. And, yeah, man, he's definitely adding some fucking fire to y'all's cards.
Yeah, no, we're going all out on this one. We did a few changes to it, but other than that, we got two Local Rules match, well, basically death matches. Come on, Say Sin, Mickey Knuckles. Those two broads are going to go at it. And then, of course, Sadika's dude versus Roxy. That's going to be insane, too. And then, guys, we got a little bit of – I haven't even announced this, but Dante Leon and Joe Alonzo is going to be a steel cage match. I'm giving you an exclusive, guys.
Oh, my God.
I haven't even announced this, dude. Yeah, so I got two death matches,
awesome.
A cage match, and I got so much fire on the undercard. I was like, I'm giving you the kitty caboodles, dog. You know what I mean?
Nice.
I like that.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Awesome, man.
That's
awesome. Hey, I thought you were looking for a referee. Did y'all happen to find a referee to work this event?
Actually, yes. I got bombarded with a whole bunch of messages on my DMs, and I looked at a few, and I was like, okay, I got my guy.
Sweet.
I mean, you put a post out about, like, getting a wrestler, too, huh? And that was Prince Canoe, I guess. Did he get that match from you asking on Facebook?
No. Prince Canoe actually went to the low-key seminar, and he went to Local training with us on Tuesdays, and he just worked his ass off. Same thing with Haywire. He went to the low-key seminar, and he kept on training. He put in the work, and I was like, Doc, you're going to get on Local. So,
awesome.
Hard work.
Hey, I've known Canoe wrestling for a long time. I've seen a lot of matches of his, and he's a good talent, too. He's going to be a good match.
Yeah, the only and plus, guys, I don't know if y'all, some of y'all live in Houston, but fucking, I'm a big Tugboat Taylor fan from back in the day, dog. I'm a little bit of a baby monster.
Yeah.
Him. So,
I knew,
you know what I'm saying, dog?
I knew those guys. I knew Tug and Chaz like a long time ago, and I knew some people that trained with them. I know Hambone Lee real good.
Hambone's a referee now.
Yeah, I know DZW and that crowd too, but I don't really get to make it over to their shows.
But yeah, man, they're doing cool things. I love Tugboat guys, dog, because hey, dog, that was like the first indies that I grew up with, like them TASW, WOW, and all that shit. Like, you know, I've been a wrestling fan all my life, so I know about the Houston indies.
Right on. So
yeah,
that's November 20th at the Houston Arena. What is it called?
The Houston Premier Arena.
Houston Premier Arena. Yeah. And
hey,
that's The Good, The Bad, and The Fake.
Yes. I just wanted to say one quick thing, Doc. go check out the Houston Premier Arena. It's like the new ECW. It's like the ECW arena of like Houston, dog.
Yeah,
every weekend there's a fucking show.
It's badass. Yeah, and then there's more shows besides you guys. What other federations are running out of there?
Hey, PWF. Hey, bro. December 3rd, Game Changer Wrestling is running the fucking premiere again. Like, dude, come on. That's fucking fire, bro.
Wow. GCW,
hey, check
December
this out.
3rd.
I'm going to give you some little inside shit. I'm trying to bring ICW No Holds Bar in February to Houston. I'm trying my hardest. And then after this weekend, I'm going to meet up with Rocky Romero in Denver. I'm trying to bring that New Japan Strong shit to Houston, the Houston Premier Arena. I'm trying to bring all that shit there.
Nice.
So I'm working.
Well,
I'm
doing
want...
all the work. We can see it online. See y'all doing everything, like putting out the posters and just promoting like you do. It's working. Cool.
Yeah.
I want...
Dude.
I'm not a selfish person. I want the fans to enjoy everything. I'm bringing them all the genres. It doesn't even have to be about loco. It's just about having like the best shows at that place for fans to enjoy. Because I know everybody's not a loco fan, and not everybody local. They might enjoy UPW, TASW, DZW. They might like those guys. Laws running. There's a couple. New Texas Pro, PWF. They all like that style. Everybody, it's like a difference for everybody, you know. So,
yeah, hey, man. Just to let you know, man. Just to let you know, San Antonio is aching for some loco here, man. So, plans to expand into the Texas market there. And if so, I mean, like I'm over here in San Antonio, dude. Got a lot of connections, some venues. What can we do?
Yeah, the one thing that I want to run. WrestleMania weekend, but all the buildings are all stopped up. That's like, honestly, dude, like I feel like that should be one of our big coming out parties, is like doing WrestleMania weekend. But man, what it's looking like right now, everybody got their spots, and I'm thinking about just throwing, I'm bringing WrestleMania weekend to Houston, and I'm thinking about doing it Wednesday or Tuesday of that week and flying guys, because I know they're gonna go to Dallas. Dallas is only a 4-hour drive, bro. So if I can bring all those motherfuckers to fucking, I'll fly them down to Houston, and they can, you know, if I have to fly them back to Dallas, I can throw a badass show midweek for everybody, you know, warm them up for WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
Sweet. Jaime Martinez, local wrestling, the good, the bad, and the fake, November 20th. Houston Premier Arena.
Hey, guys.
And we got
you need
two
Houston,
death
if you need
matches
Houston,
and one
you need
cage
tickets,
match.
I got you. Huh?
Two death matches plus one cage match.
Hell yeah.
It's,
we're bringing that fucking fire, bro.
That,
like, straight up.
And are we also going to have the greatest merch table in the business around? I
stopped doing that, but I'm going to have the most fire logo merch there.
Sweet,
no, but hey, guys, I have Ray Ace. He has the best Lucha Libre memorabilia. He comes from Laredo. He has masks. If you want a Texas Rey Mysterio mask, he has that. You know what I mean? If you want anything up here from Mexico, like if you want some Lucha Bros, a T-shirt that you can only get in Mexico. You want Tiger mask, Jushin Liger mask, even the T-shirts. He has it. He's gonna be there.
Hell yeah!
And then I got Texas Deathmatch gonna be there. I got 80 Toys gonna be there. I got a Taco guy now. I got a Cevite guy, and I got a Cake guy being there too.
Oh,
I'm a spoil y'all motherfuckers. I want
Ceviche
that to be
and
big,
tacos,
fat,
baby.
Hey, for real. It's going to be a cool show, guys. I want to see all y'all there. If y'all want tickets, holler at your boy. I got discount tickets for y'all. We've already sold over 200 tickets. I'm just trying to sell the last, like, 30, 40 tickets. So, hey, if y'all holler at me, I can see you y'all situated. And, like, I want y'all to experience this show. We got a lot of fucking surprises.
Hey, will do, man. I'm definitely going to be fucking reaching out. Kevin,
hey, dog, if y'all need discount tickets, holler to your boy. I want y'all at this fucking show. There's going to be a lot of blood be shed. A lot of blood will be shed that night, dog. Like, for real.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Y'all want violence? Y'all want flippy shit? Y'all want fucking heavyweight shit? Y'all want wrestling? Y'all want fucking strong style? Y'all want fucking blood guts? All that shit. Local wrestling's for you. And we're BYOB, too. So you can't even beat that.
You can't beat it, man. I've been there, and it's fucking, it's always been a great time. November 20th, the good, the bad, and the fake. The Houston Premier Arena. Local wrestling on Facebook. Jaime Martinez. Fucking A. And we're going to have two death matches and one fucking cage match. Oh, my God. That's fucking badass. Oh, thank you so much, Jaime, man, for coming on and giving us the announcement, dude. And I'll see you there for that. I got to go to that shit. There's no way I could miss that.
Thank you for letting
me cut it up, promo, Daddy. Penis. Jaime Martinez, local wrestling.
Right on. Local.
Man, that was fucking, dude, I'm not going to miss that. I'm glad he called in the mind.
We
got
to go check.
I
got
to get tickets on that. You got no tickets for that, dude? November 20th. I mean, shit, I don't have anything going on that day. That's a Saturday, no less. Perfect.
Yeah. All right, back to the show.
Yeah, back to the show. Let's see here. 20.
That hasn't reminded me in a while. That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool. I didn't know. I thought it was Ricky calling about the game. But I digress. 22 years ago, guys, at a SmackDown taping in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, down Kensington Avenue and shit, Mankind and Al Snow defeated the Hollies. Hardcore Crash to win the WWF Tag Team Championship. It was the ninth time that the titles had changed hands since August 1st, okay? The ninth time since August 1st. Get that. And the longest reign during that period was the New Age Outlaws at 21 days. I remember this thing. It was like, what the fuck's going on with the titles?
You honest, were you really surprised that Mankind and Al Snow were going to not win these tag titles at the place where they were at, ECW Philadelphia? They were going to win it regardless because of this ECW, their ECW originals, and they're in Philadelphia. They were going to win it regardless.
Yeah. At the time, I was not the mark that I am now. So, yeah, I had no idea. I had no fucking idea as to Mankind and Al Snow being from fucking ECW in Philadelphia and none of that shit. None of that shit mattered to me. But yeah, that's what you have. The whole thing about the fucking the potato flop with the fucking tag team titles, I mean, it's a disgrace, though.
I bet you 10 to 1 they didn't even held the tag titles that long. I bet you they lost it the next week.
21 years ago, WWF issued a statement that they had settled their wrongful death lawsuit with the Hart family. I mean, I guess it was, you know, closure saying that they were wrong. Admitting that they were wrong, you know, making it public knowledge that they were wrong, but
I
don't know. The whole, you know, if that's what they needed, that's what they needed. The money was going to be there regardless.
Yeah.
Vince is always taking care of, you know, whenever stuff happens, and this was, man, one of the, probably the most tragic incident. This and draws.
Question, was Vince Russo also sued for this? Because this was his idea too, by the way, the whole Blue Blazer gimmick.
I don't know. He might have fell under the umbrella, you know, of employee.
Yeah, there's some kind of blanket thing about that umbrella thing.
Yeah.
He was the one who came up with the idea of the fucking blue blazer anyway. I just want to know if he was held accountable in court of law, you know?
This fucking
bro,
Vince Russo has... is
bro,
this fucking Vince Russo?
Bro, I wouldn't last a day in the pen, bro. Vince had my back. Bro. Vince told me, he said, Vinny, I'm not going to let him take you. You're my special boy. You and Sean are my special boys, Vinny.
I wouldn't even be surprised if that was the real one of the reasons why he got fired in the WWF in the first place.
Vince Russo just continues to try to keep himself in the relevant limelight, answering to Tony Khan that he should let him cut a promo on Vince McMahon.
No.
This is what he wants. Seriously, he wants to fucking come make a comeback, and he wants to use the, you know, AEW as his vehicle. He wants to attack Vince. And,
no.
Don't let
this man anywhere near a professional wrestling ring. This guy is a fucking toxin. You talk about lethal dose of poison. He's a real life lethal dose of poison. He killed TNA. He killed WCW. He will fucking kill AEW. Do not let this man even touch a fucking microphone. This guy's a cancer to professional wrestling. Don't even let him go near a TV set.
I agree.
Man's got to work. But I digress. It's not anything I would want to see either, though.
Why do you agree, Kevin? Why do you agree?
I mean, to look at his track record. I mean, there's no reason why there should be fans of Vince Russo's booking style. Like, he burns stuff to the ground. But then I could listen to a guy like Cornette or even Bruce Pritchard and kind of, like, sympathize with where they're coming from with certain things. But with Russo, there's no excuse most of the time. I was like, you know, you're just stupid, and he ruins it. So, yeah, if he touched AEW, I agree, he would burn it to the ground, too. So, like, do not let Russo in AEW. And I don't think anybody there is stupid enough to do that.
17 years ago, at a SmackDown taping in St. Louis, Mizzou, Keeping It Real went very, very wrong. During a $1 million
tough enough
competition. Yeah. Two of the contestants took on Kurt Angle in a shoot style wrestling match. After quickly disposing of Chris Naraki, Daniel Puter volunteered. Puter put Angle in a key lock and was in danger of submitting Angle, or worse, breaking his arm even.
Yeah.
When the referee fast counted Pewter's shoulders down, though one of them appeared to be up. The referee, by the way, of course, none other than Earl Hebner.
Yeah.
Angle and Pewter got into a verbal confrontation after the match. Pewter got a modicum of popularity following that incident. And he wrote it to the end. Ultimately, besting Mike the Miz Mizanin in the final to win the competition and the contract.
But in the end of the day, who still got employed and who became a fucking nobody?
Here's the thing. I think by that time they had already decided that they were going to sign the Miz regardless.
Yeah.
So they went ahead and went with another winner instead, quote unquote winner. Miz had already.
Let me tell
won.
You what else happened. Let me tell you what else happened with the whole Daniel Puter shit, right? So after he fucking wins, right? This is a little retrospective, a short retrospective, because his career didn't last long, lads. So after he fucking wins, he gets a guaranteed spot on the Royal Rumble, right? fucking Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, and Hardcore Holly fucking demolished this boy. They fucking beat the shit out of him. Stiff, for real. Stiff stock, you fucking chop. They beat the dog shit out of him. Eliminated him.
I need to look that up.
And then...
I haven't seen that.
And then, after the Royal Rumble, he hasn't been on TV in a while. Maybe in Velocity. They decided to turn this guy heel for no reason whatsoever, like he's a misogynist. And then he fucking gets fired the next couple of weeks. That was his fucking career. The only thing you remember of him is him almost breaking Kurt Angle's arm like a fucking twat. Him fucking getting his ass beat up and fucking destroyed in the Royal Rumble. And him
being
turned heel by...
And then being a piece of shit misogynist.
Yeah.
It's like they planned his way out. They planned this way out. You know what? Fuck it, man. Just turn him into a goddamn misogynist.
I have a Daniel Peter.
Once the heat fucking builds up, let him go. Let him go. Cut him loose.
I have a Daniel Peter story from down here. He had a promotion. This was like 5 years ago or something. But he had like a promotion. But it's like a non-profit kind of thing for kids, and that's like what he does nowadays. And that's like now I don't think he does wrestling shows anymore. I think he just goes and talks at schools and crap like that. But at the show, it was like a really wholesome wrestling show. But I remember at the show, he had the Tough Enough trophy there with him. And I didn't know what the hell it was because I was sitting kind of far away. And I was like, why did they have a birthday cake up there? Like, whose birthday is it? When are they going to bring out the birthday cake? He was like carrying it around. I was like, what is that thing? And it looks like a fucking birthday cake. I just remember that. Being like, who is this guy? And then I like looked up all the stuff about him later. Because there was other big people on that show. I saw Matt
Ryback.
Yeah, it was a cool show. And he's a nice guy. But he did try to break Kurt's arm. I've watched that several times. That's fucking crazy whenever he's like, and Kurt's like jumps up and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
he got out of the moment.
A real moment.
He got out of the moment and he let the moment
they
get
said
away
it was a real
him.
Shoot fight that Kurt challenged these guys to a shoot wrestling match. And I'm like, there's no fucking way they would do that, Mark. Like, listen to what you're saying, you know? They wouldn't go out there and say, you are really going to fight. But then they've done brawl for all, like, but I don't know. And then Kurt might have asked for it, but I don't know. That's the myth with that.
No,
show,
no.
That Kurt
all he
told
asked
him that he wanted them to shoot.
Yeah,
all he asked
Kurt
was if they could survive a few minutes, if they could survive a few minutes with him or something like that. But here's the interesting thing, right? You know that the whole reason this was Tough Enough was special was because it's called Million Dollar Tough Enough, right? Guess
right.
What? They never won actually $1 million. Daniel Peter only won half of $1,500,000. So the name is a fucking fraud. They didn't win $1 million, the winner.
Really?
How do you know
yeah.
That's funny.
So.
Wrestling is a work.
Yeah, and he got worked yeah. himself. He thought he was going to win $1 million, the poor schmuck.
He won a cool 500,000.
$1 million? Because when he won the contract, they showed it to him, and it wasn't $1 million. And then he got interviewed by a random interviewer, and he told the interviewer himself that he didn't win $1 million. It was like half a million.
Wow.
Damn it.
Maybe it was probably maybe after taxes or shit. He was being mismanaged or some shit.
Mismatched my
ass.
Signed a waiver.
Everybody has a piece of their fucking pie. That's
hey, everybody. Start taking care of a couple of things the last few minutes. I have absolutely no idea what the hell we're talking about. But that's great because I normally don't have anything. I don't really don't have an idea of what the hell we're talking about.
Have you never seen it before? Look up where Kurt almost breaks his arm. There, the Kurt Angle match where this guy really tries to break his arm, and it's a pretty badass little moment.
It was the
Kimura
lock.
Yeah.
And something else that Albert has no idea what we're talking about, 14 years ago, Terry Smith, a.k.a. David Hartsmith, and Chris Mordetsky, also known as Chris Masters, were suspended after they were found to be in violation of the WWE's wellness policy. They were starting to fucking shame people. Yeah. They were starting to shame people. They're the first performers to be publicly named in violation of the policy following a change in the policy that instituted just a day earlier that anyone caught would be publicly identified.
Oh, that's
Smith was suspended for a month, and Chris Masters was suspended for 2 months following a second violation. Of course, what? Chris Masters would be subsequently released.
Fired.
Yeah.
Who cares at this point? Like, they weren't doing anything in the WWF to begin with. Chris Masters was
always going to be
a joke, a jobber.
David Boy Smith Jr.
could have been something at one point if they'd have done it right and if he'd have stuck to its guns. But then I kind of liked his New Japan run afterwards. Like, I became a fan of the guy later. But it's like, it's too late for him now. So that's what
kind
of sucks.
It's because at that time, bro, they had no control of the fucking mid-card. At that time, it was just, you're either in the top fucking feud or you're not. And, like, you were fed, and it's still the same with fucking Roman Reigns. But
yeah.
At the time, they did it so much with, like, everyone, and it was like they had no mid-card support.
Yeah,
no mid-card support. And then they started fucking putting the fucking WCW title on it. They started changing that thing fucking, and it was like a fucking hot potato and shit. Give it to everyone. You know, you had Jack Swagger winning it. You know, you had, well, Sheamus. Now, they misused Sheamus completely. Sheamus should still be a fucking badass, you know, like a top fucking star, but they fucked him up completely. And they did the same with a bunch of other guys. And they're still doing it today. They're still fucking doing it. And I don't even know why I'm talking about it. Fuck them.
Well, I think because, you know, Sheamus is a Triple H guy, that's why Vince sabotages him, because he's not his guy. Everybody that's in contact with Triple H, Vince fucks over. You notice that, right? Every person that Triple H is linked to or has a nice chat with or even a fucking handshake, Vince just fucks them over. Like Sheamus, Adam Cole, Finn Balor, fucking everybody. Everybody that Triple H is involved with, they get fucked over by Vince in the main roster. The evidence is there.
It's sickening. It took me.
Hey, but if it happens to everybody, then it's indiscriminatory. If you know what I mean? If everybody's getting fucked over,
right,
then Vince isn't just picking on them. Vince is fucking picking on everybody. Or somebody.
Is he picking on Triple H?
Yeah. He'll talk. Give the man a heart situation, whatever they called it. A heart moment. What'd they call it? Event. A cardiac event. That's what they called it.
Hey, I forgot, I was reading somewhere. It was like I don't know what it was, but they're like a dirt sheet or something. I don't know how you know. I'll take that with a grain of salt. But we're talking about how like Triple H is officially retired. He just quietly retired because of that heart problem. So no more Triple H matches.
Who cares? I mean, thank God he survived. But I'm glad we don't have no more Triple H matches. I couldn't stand them anymore.
But you think,
well,
like, you know, that like, Bobby,
I have no idea.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to get the big send-off that, like, you know, Shawn Michaels.
They'll have that moment.
Never mind.
Where he'll come out at WrestleMania and he'll, like, leave his crown on the throne or something like that.
He'll get his rusty,
dusty crown that's rusting all over in the sands of time, and it just
I could see him doing that. That would be pretty badass, actually. I could see him totally doing that. Like, it's all withered and, like, dust. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Speaking of another king, though, you know, a guy had a heart attack in the ring, Jerry the King Lawler, after his move to CM Punk. You guys remember that? And
didn't he have
a few good matches after that? Like, that was something else.
Yeah, he doesn't do
I
that
heard
fuck,
that.
Man. He had a heart attack when he was doing commentary too, didn't he?
Yeah.
No, no, that was right after his match with CM Punk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went back to the commentary booth and then just
walked
over.
So yeah,
I hear he's in hot water right now.
The king?
Well, there's another Dark Side of the Ring coming out?
No, I heard that something happened. I heard that something happened and he got canceled. You know, just like
he said something during commentary a few weeks back, and I don't know exactly what it was. I remember like hearing it, and I was thinking, "Wow, that's pretty fun." Oh, he made a comment about Akira Tozawa during the 24/7 title match, and it was like a racist comment. And he said something about like you guys like the champion of like ramen noodles or something like that. I don't know what the hell it was,
yeah.
But yeah, they took him off like, immediately after that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me started on Hikaru Ishida. Holy Ishida. Holy Ishida. No, the chick from AEW.
Ishida was badass, dude. But yeah, we'll get there.
Hikaru Ishida. Holy
shit.
Hikari Oshida?
No, there's no Oshida. There's no O in Ishida.
Oh,
Hikari
Ishida. Yeah. Holy Ishida. But I digress. We have one more left, guys. One more.
Yeah.
And it was 10 years ago. Mick Foley appeared as a special referee for a Raw house show in Dublin, Ireland. Dublin, Ireland. This match was between John Cena and John Morrison.
Yeah.
And the Awesome Truth. This was
Foley's
first appearance in WWE since just before SummerSlam 2008. Yeah?
Yeah. I always hate when Mick Foley becomes the referee because he always makes it about himself. Like, he always wants to make himself look good. He always tries to make himself go over as the referee. Like, fuck all the other fucking wrestlers. Look at fucking me. Look at me pulled my fucking sock. I'm the fucking attraction, not these people who are in the fucking match. You know what I'm saying? He always does that. Always does that. Recently, the past few Hell in a Cell matches, right? He was the special guest referee in the Hell in a Cell match between Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns, right? The whole vocal point in that fucking promo, hey, let's not give a fuck about Braun Strowman or Roman Reigns. Let's give a fuck about me because I'm the special guest referee, you know? I'm the main fucking attraction here. Let's talk about my fucking overused accomplishment in Hell in a Cell where I got thrown out, you know, off the top of the cell. Let's not focus on them. Let's focus on me. You see? Like, he tries to put himself over every time he's the special guest referee.
And he'll be back soon enough because he'll have to put his daughter over. I think his daughter's working with WWE.
Nepotism.
She is a performance center?
I think so. Something, I've seen something about that. But
nepotism.
I digress. So
is NXT,
it for...
Christian, are you watching NXT 2.0?
Yeah,
it sucks.
Tell us about it.
Okay. It sucks.
I that's all I wanted to ask is if it was good because I was really thinking about watching it and then you said it sucks and so I'm not gonna watch it.
Bron Breakker is Scott Steiner's son. He's exactly like his fucking dad because all he knows is do his dad's moves and that's about it. He only knows 2 to 3 fucking moves and that's it. He fucking sucks.
We're getting into Bron Breakker now. Let me tell you something. I'm a Bron Breakker fan. I love the guy. I think he's great. I think he's green in the ring still. I think he has a lot to learn. And I think he's going to be one of the top stars in the next few years. You know what I mean?
We're going to get into more of that. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. with the WWE report, and I think it was Albert that was saying that he's been watching some of the product, and he's had a change of heart. And I myself have been, you know, we're going to talk about it all, AEW and WWE, because they both have their ups and downs. They both have their flaws, and we're going to try to work our way through them. And we're going to do that right after these words, Fatal 4-Way Radio. So we'll be right back. Stay where you're at, motherfuckers. Go away. Yeah. So you want to talk about politics, right? But you also want to talk about bears and some other newsworthy items you may have missed. Well, hey, join me, Chuck Amok, and the Unusual Suspects as we get down and dirty on the Full Tilt Boogie Show, a show where we talk about some of the craziest things going on in the Beltway and beyond. The Boogie, that Friday night, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check it out. From the Friendly Fire Cigar Studio in Houston, Texas, you're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Friendly Fire Cigars, come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, DAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HDTVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
We welcome you to the Lone Star State with big wide open arms. But if you're trapping litter, well, that's cause for some alarm. You gotta keep our environment clean, and that's the honest truth. So don't you mess with Texas, lest you wanna get the boot. Go don't mess with Texas. This land is for me and you. From Dallas to the valley, every highway looking dandy. So future generations can enjoy too.
Right on. Welcome back. Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. That's right. That's right. I'm here for you each and every Tuesday, regardless of the circumstances. Even though the Astros are down, we still have a show. The show must go on. win or lose, it was going to happen in Houston. We accepted that a couple of nights ago. But I guess doesn't look like it's going to be pretty here in Houston tonight. Nevertheless, in Atlanta, it will be badass. And in most of the country, actually, Houston was the big fucking heels in this. They only had three states that were supporting them in this World Series. It was Houston, Louisiana, and Delaware. A fucking state the size of fucking, you know, Houston County, Harris County, I guess.
Of course, those damn baby faces had to win.
Yeah. But so now we're going to, you know what, I think it's time to go ahead and get the report. And because I want to leave time to talk about AEW. So let's get the,
and now,
the
ladies
report.
And gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with
that
this week's
right.
WWE report. Swami.
Now listen, everybody, right? I know some people are going to say SmackDown was an okay show last... I mean, Raw was an okay show last night. And yeah, it was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It was just in the middle. But let's not sugarcoat it, all right? Those matches that happened last night on Raw were a bunch of fucked finishes, all right? Terrible fucked finishes. So let's start things off, right? Let's start things off with the first match that opened Raw. It was the Raw Women's Championship match between Becky Cringe versus Bianca Belair, the loser, the schmuck. So, yeah, I don't care if you say this was a good match. This was a waste of time because, again, Bianca looked like a fool. She's been looking like a fool since SummerSlam at this point. And again, she loses. So that means she won't get another opportunity because it's looking like it's going to be Liv Morgan's time. Though, I don't understand how we're going to get to there since Liv Morgan is also a loser. So, yeah. I don't care if people say this was a good match. The fact, you're all missing the point here. The point is, they've completely and utterly sabotaged Bianca Belair's push just for Becky's title run.
Jump in here, and then I'll let the other guys go. But yeah, man,
go ahead.
I have to agree. I'm fully on board with this. At this point, they've squandered the opportunity to make a big star. Okay, out of Bianca Belair, once again, they squandered it, even though it was reported just last week that even Becky Lynch was against her win, that she wanted to put over Bianca Belair. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but still, it was out there. So maybe it was true. And so here they just completely fucking, took her out. They're probably going to fucking, you know, relegate her to a tag team. And she's going to go forward like this never even happened. Much like Nikki Ash. ASH or whatever they call her. But yeah, they totally squandered the opportunity to fucking make a big star. And in the meanwhile, you have Charlotte running roughshod, acting like a fucking baby. And being mayhem and chaos backstage is being reported, which, again, it's just being reported. We don't know. But I digress. Guys, anybody? Christian?
So I saw both episodes of Raw and SmackDown, and I felt just like Albert did, like how I've been shitting on everything. Like, I was like, wait a second. I was telling my wife, I was like, wait a second. Is it just because I haven't watched it in a minute that it's good, or is it good? So this segment, though, just made me hate Becky. That was my main takeaway. Like, I don't like Becky. The thing was, is I watched a video right before this that was like a pre-made package of, like, this feud, and it was like showing like all the cuts of like all the interactions that they had, and it was cut all badass. And if you watch that, it made it look like a cool feud. But then watching it live, like I was like, this is trash. Like this feud sucks. So I agree with that. That they've made Bianca look really bad. Whenever she's really a badass, it should be represented like a badass.
I wish I could find a site, because there has to be somebody on YouTube that has just those clips. If I could see just those clips right before.
Oh, it's on WWE, bro. It was on the WWE channel.
And watch, yeah. No, but what I'm saying is like have them edit it out to where you see those clips and you can just put the whole thing together for the whole year. You can watch the whole year in about 8 or 9 minutes from me. Maybe 12.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing, Kevin, right? Here's the problem, right?
Becky looks like she lost some weight, huh? Doesn't she look like a little bit...
Becky is so small now, dude. Becky, I noticed that, and I noticed what Christian's been saying about Becky not being able to wrestle that well anymore. Like, it was, like, not great movement on her part and stuff, so... I hate to, like, critique that because I'm not a fucking wrestler, but, like, she's not a badass champion. So.
And here's the problem, right? Here's the problem, right, Kevin? You said you hate Becky. I don't think you hate Becky because she's a heel now, right? This is completely different, all right? Hate can mean two things, right? You can either kayfabe hate her because she's a heel, or you kayfabe hate her because she's being pushed down your throat. I think
no, it's like
second
go away.
Heat. Yeah.
It's go away heat. It's like I'd rather just her not be on the show. If this is how it's gonna be. But no, you can't say that. I don't know. This is my first time watching it in a few weeks, and so the show got better after this. But we'll get to that. But this segment, and like you said there was a lot of really fucky finishes, and the fucky finishes I noticed, and I was telling my wife, I was like, so WWE has like all this airtime every week. They have all these matches that they have to do. So there's only, in wrestling, there's only like 20 to 50, maybe 100 different finishes you can use in a match. And as soon as they introduce certain things, like somebody being at ringside or the ref getting knocked out or something like that, we all know that now they're only doing these three. Like, it's all predictable because they have so much volume. They do so many matches that they use all these fucking old school finishes all the time, and it doesn't seem cool when they do it. Like, it's just trash. You can see people's faces in the audience being, like, pissed off at the fucky finishes.
All right, Alba, what's your opinion about all this Becky Lynch situation?
Well, here's the thing is, yeah, I agree with you, but I've always been a Becky Lynch fan. And I think that she just kind of lost her step. And I think, you know, I don't know if it has anything to do with, like, you know, her being away from the ring for almost a year or what, because she's been back for, you know, quite some time. But I think, yeah, I'm with Kevin. It's like, dude, she seems like her movements aren't fluid. You know what I mean? Like, she's not – maybe it's just going to take her a while to get back into it. She seems like – going a different route. Maybe her training is different because she looks like she's lost like at least like 15 pounds. And you could tell like in her legs too, you know, like, you know, when like somebody comes back, you know, and they just have like their body's just different, you know, like it happened to Becky, you know what I mean? And I think that, yeah, I can see like a lot of people are already kind of getting sick of her. I think that she just needs to kind of maybe take a step back from the title picture a little bit, maybe after this feud with Bel Air, you know, kind of finishes up, and hopefully Bel Air comes out on top. But I think she needs to take a step back and you know, hopefully WWE doesn't push her down our throats too much, because she is one of the greatest women wrestlers of our generation, you know what I mean? Our greatest wrestlers of a generation, not just women, but...
Too.
But
she used to be the best, and now look at her. What's going on? I was like, what the hell?
Yeah,
is going
she was like, she was the Steve Austin of the women's division at a time. You know
I
what I mean? And then of
that
course,
shit,
you,
man, I never bought that.
Quote unquote,
she was the woman.
Quote unquote,
come on.
Yeah.
She was in NXT. Like, she had a good track record for having badass matches at one point, and then like over time, She's been WWE eyes. She's been like
chewed
up
on,
the WWE
bro.
System.
Really?
Doesn't get
she was the woman, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And she was booked that way, and she was trying
maybe,
to be the woman, Stone Cold. It was weak.
It didn't continue because she had the potential. Let me say that. Okay, maybe it's a stretch to say she was a woman, Stone Cold Steve Austin. But she had the potential to be that major star, you know, had she not, you know, I'm not blaming on that at all, but gotten pregnant. I think that kind of killed her momentum big time. And, I mean, more power to her and Seth, you know what I mean? Like, whatever, like, that's, you know, congratulations to both of them. But, you know, I'm thinking, like, okay, maybe her training's going down. Maybe she's, you know, staying up late nights with the kid, you know what I mean? Or, you know how, you know, babies are babies, you know? And
yeah.
I'm sure she knows it's taking a toll on her. I think maybe she just needs to take a step back. But like I said, she was on that trajectory to be the biggest star and to be that Roman Reigns type character that she didn't really get to fulfill. And I think she's trying to get that back, but I don't think that, you know,
right
the
now,
timing's correct.
To me, I see her a lot like Seth Rollins. She looks like Seth Rollins out there to me.
No, not even that. Not even that.
She looks like she's copying Seth Rollins' gimmick, which, you know, the fur coat and shit and the big glasses.
Yeah, but it's not
like
even,
a female
yeah,
version
even,
of Seth
not,
Rollins.
But here's,
not
here's
even
the
that, bro. It's not even that, bro. She's trying to be everybody. She's trying to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. She's trying to be the fucking Rock. She's using the Rock's rock bottom. She's doing the fucking fur coat like Seth Rollins. She doesn't know her fucking identity, bro. And that's the problem. She doesn't know who she is.
I agree. And but you know what? You know what? I agree with you, Chuck, too, that she is, you know, coming off a little bit like Seth Rollins. But here's the deal. You know, I always found it odd. Especially in the case of like Daniel Bryan and the Bellas or John Cena and the Bellas or any other couple that's on the same show or even the same company. I always found it really weird how like one would be heel and the other would be face. You know what I mean? I was like, I'd be like, you know, John Cena's always face when he was dating Nikki Bella, right? Or is it Bree?
Yeah,
one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whichever one's not with Daniel.
They
were working as heels, and here's John Cena, the ultimate babyface. So it's like, you know, if you were falling that far into it, it just didn't seem right. You know what I mean? It felt a little off. And I kind of dig the fact that her and Seth are kind of doing the same thing because it messes with their personalities. Even though they're not together, everybody knows that off-screen they are together, so it's not so awkward when you see them on TV, like, one's a heel, one's a face. Like, you know, how do they get along backstage? You know, it's just something that always kind of irked me a little bit with couples in wrestling.
Yeah. So, to continue with this thing, we had Rey Mysterio versus Austin Theory. Yeah, I'm trying to like. It was a decent match, guys, but I'm trying, bro. I'm really trying to like Austin Theory, but again, he's just a ripoff. Like for fuck's sakes, man. Austin Theory, the guy, Austin Theory from NXT, the guy who faked Rey Mysterio last night.
I like Austin Theory, and I don't think he's a ripoff.
I know exactly who he is.
No,
I've recently started watching this guy. And I like him.
He's literally doing the Randy Orton RKO pose in the fucking ramp, bro. Every time he comes out to the fucking ring.
Yeah, exactly. He is doing that. And I think that it's because that's where this is going to end, my friend. This is going to end with him fucking. Eventually, he's going to go through a bunch of people. And then eventually, he's going to get to the fucking, to the legend killer. And would he be the one to take down the legend killer a notch?
I mean, think about it like this. I dig Austin Theory. I think he's coming into his own. And I think that he could be a star very, very soon.
But, you know, there was copycats all over the place for as long as wrestling existed. You know what I mean? Look at Hulk Hogan and Billy Graham or Buddy Rogers and Ric Flair.
Ric Flair, and just think
of all these different characters, Gorgeous George and who inspired so many different copycats after he came out in the 40s and 50s and shit. You know what I mean? Wrestling is all about personality, you know what I mean? And it's just, you know, that's just how it's going to be. There's always going to be people, you know, copying, you know, other people and doing their own version of it. Look at MJF and The Miz, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, so the fuck finish in this match, you know, just like the turnbuckle thing, the fuck finish is that Dominic punches Austin Theory in the face and the ref sees it and disqualifies Ray. I don't know what the fuck that's about. Either they're turning both the Mysterios heel at this point or they're turning Dominic. Either way, this was a 201 assault. So, yeah, I don't know. That was a fuck finish. We skip ahead. We go to the in-ring segment with Rollins and Big E, you know.
Wait, please. That part took me by surprise, the ending of that. But after I thought about it for a little bit, I thought, well, it makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
But you know what it seems like they're setting up, though, right? I mean, they're obviously setting up a feud between Mysterio and Mysterio. And you know, if they know what's good for them and you know, if, you know, Ray has pull backstage, that they're going to have a match at WrestleMania. You know, it's going to be father versus son at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
that's
we're
going to
have a slow burn.
That's going to be an awesome match.
We're going to finally have Dominic win for once in his pathetic wrestling career.
But is that going to be on night one or night two?
No, night one.
Night four.
Night four. Mm-hmm. Who knows? So, yeah, right. Rollins cuts a promo saying how he won. You know, it doesn't make sense how he's the number one contender anyway since Edge beat him in Hell in a Cell. So, whatever. Rollins is the number one contender. Big E comes out, a fake champion. I'm telling you guys right now, Big E as champion fucking sucks. I don't care if you hate me or not. You can hate me all you want. I just don't feel him being world champion. I'm sorry. He doesn't feel it for me. It's fucking off. He's not even fucking main event in segments. He's not even fucking advertised on the show. He's the world champion, and he's not even advertised in any of the fucking shows. You know who is advertised? Roman Reigns and his bullshit. But Big E is never advertised on Raw. So, to me, that doesn't scream world champion to me. But anyway, they bring up Kofi Mania for whatever fucking reason. I don't know why. Then Kevin Owens comes out. Now, this is the interesting part, right? Kevin Owens mentioned in his little nugget of a promo that it takes them 3 months, 3 more months, or 3 more years. Now, you want to know why he said 3 months? Because his contract is coming up in January. Yeah. He basically said it to your face that he's leaving the fucking company. He's not hiding it anymore. He basically said it to your fucking face.
And you know what? I'm thinking that they're going to full on take advantage of this. And they're going to get a big time feud going. And it'll probably end with he's going to be losing. He's going to be getting one up or whatever. And he'll probably put his career on the line.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Big E will take his quote unquote career.
Yeah.
And it'll be a straight up copy of fucking Daniel Bryan, except this one will be intentional because the whole Daniel Bryan will, like, they got kind of caught off guard with that. And then they had to plan it out.
Yeah. And guess what? It's obviously going to turn Kevin Owens heel because it's already planted. Kevin Owens is fucking turning heel. What better way, you know, to send off a guy who's likable, the crowd fucking loves him, to turn him heel for no fucking reason whatsoever because you can't fucking book him right as a fucking babyface. You know, it could have been fucking great. you know, his babyface run. It had all the potential in the world, but you fucked that up. So now you have no choice but to fucking turn him heel for no reason because he's leaving in 3 months. That's their fucking answer for everything, guys. Let's turn a likable guy that the crowd actually fucking likes, but you know he's fucking leaving in 3 months. Let's turn him heel for no fucking reason whatsoever. Have him lose each fucking match and then kick his sorry ass out the curb. That's how you fucking send off a person. Turn him heel for no reason whatsoever.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
Sickening.
That's exactly how.
Y'all still there?
Yeah, we're all still here. What are your thoughts, Cavie?
Okay, cool. Man, I don't know. Yeah, it's sad that, like you said, they didn't advertise Big E like they did. But, like, I don't know. I mean, it's a given that he's going to be there if he's a champ. The match with Owens, I thought, was pretty good. But I don't know. I guess I didn't watch that closely, and I'm not familiar enough with what's going on, so I didn't get as much takeaway as you did from it. But, yeah, I mean, if Owens is leaving, then, I mean, I don't see why he wouldn't leave. I think it's like 90% chance that he goes to AEW. So, yeah, they should definitely put Big E over him. But is it 3 months? Then I don't want him and Big E to feud for 3 months.
If I was Kevin Owens at this point, I would be like, look, man, if you guys want me to stay, I'll stay, but it's going to cost you, you know, $6 million for 1 year.
No, they're not going to
do
that.
I'll do whatever the fuck you want.
No, they're not going to offer him $6 million, no.
Yeah, because they're a bunch of cheap asses. You know,
yeah,
and so they're not gonna do it, and fucking, you know, he can just walk away, and he'll be glad he did, and he'll live to be a better, you know, it'll be better for him.
I don't know if Owens is going to AEW or not. I think this could be a work, and I think that they're playing off. And this is a possibility. It's just a theory. I'm not saying it's, you know, what I believe or what could be, you know, true. But I'm saying that if they did this correctly, this could be one of the best storylines of the year. But I think that they should go with this and turn this into a work and turn it into Kevin Owens coming out every week, threatening to take the title and leave and all this stuff too. And then he maybe even finally, you know, wins the title off Big E, and it makes it a little more interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but then that would just be a Punk
with the title.
Again. That'd just be like CM Punk all over again. That's not something new.
Yeah,
well,
it would be interesting.
Christian, you're going to see this shit. Hey, you know, and this is an answer that I want to get from you guys. And let's go ahead and get it out of the way right now. I've been watching wrestling. How many years have you been watching wrestling? Let's just say you're 30 years old. All right. You can't really say you've been watching, you know, all 30 years. Maybe you were watching on your parents' laps and shit, but you weren't aware of it and shit. But, you know, when you fucking started taking it in, what age were you?
I don't need to know
what age you were. But tell me, how many years up is it until now? So I want to know how much experience you have.
I would say 16 years of experience. Because I'm 30 years old. I've been watching longer than that. I've been watching for like 20 years, but I didn't watch the whole time.
If you want my honest answer, I've been watching since I was 10 years old.
Yeah, I think I've been watching since I was 10 years old. But
yeah, and then of course there's
but
times I've
probably
that you
stopped
watching,
for like 5 years.
But that doesn't really count because you've still been watching since you were 10 years old. So what I would like is just like, you know, the amount. From 10 years to now. So, Kevier, how many years have you been watching?
23 years.
So, 23 years. All right. What about you, Christian?
I guess 14 years.
Albert?
Dude, you know, my entire life. I can't really put a year on it. You know?
We'll say like 24 years old. Wrestling's
always been my older brother's always into it. My dad's been into it since forever.
Same here.
You know, it's always been on TV in the household. So I remember like being a toddler watching
this. I'm gonna put 48 years for me. That's a long fucking time. I'm older than 48. You know, I've been watching it since I was it's always been in the house, like you said. I can remember since I was like 4 years old, five years old. You know?
I was hooked. Like you said, Chuck, when I was like four, like a little kid. Watching I don't know what it was. It was just on TV, and I walked up, and it was like the Macho Man Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, like all these like colorful ass characters, you know. So I'm like basically a fucking toddler, and one of my earliest memories, you know.
Yeah,
like, just
well,
being
give me
a
number.
Attracted.
Give me a
shit.
Number so I can add it up, because what I want to do is I want to say we have on this show a combined of so and so many years of watching wrestling.
30 years? I'm 34. So
30 years. All right. So here we go. Let me add up the fucking tally.
Okay, so
7,
that's 48. So
15 here. All right. 4, 8, 11. We have 115 years cumulative, guys. That's a wrestling watching experience between us. That's give or take, okay? At that point, you can give or take. We have 100 fucking years, all right? Nobody can take that away from us. Between all of us, we have 100 fucking years of watching wrestling. And we can say anything we fucking want at this point. We're experts. We're fucking experts.
Continue. Pissed off. Experts are being pissed off, you know, but you know, it's been something that'll stay with me forever. You know, I had the coloring books and everything back then.
What were we talking about before this? Before I fucking went on this tangent,
we were talking about Kevin Owens and that either he's leaving to AEW or not. I think he is.
I think he is.
He's not happy.
Continue with the report, please.
All right, so to continue with the report, we had Becky Cringe cut a promo saying that, you know, Bianca Belair is the back of the line. Again, a 3-hour show. Bianca has not said at all about how devastated she is. She doesn't say anything. She doesn't even go, there's not even a backstage segment asking for another rematch. So that's it. Her feud is done. Her build is done. It's over. The feud's done. Bianca is a loser. At the end of the day, she looks terrible. So Liv Morgan comes out of nowhere in the corner of the backstage segment, interrupts Becky, and then Becky just shrugs and leaves. That's it. So that's the next feud, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be Liv Morgan, a girl who also has been losing to Carmella, is going to get a title shot for no reason whatsoever.
They're going to feed her. They're going to feed her to Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch is your new Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
In the female side.
Yeah. It sucks because there's no change. We're right back where we fucking started, everybody. We're right. The title scene is a fucking mess. The title scene, I dislike every fucking champion we have, with the exception of RK-Bro. That's the only title holders I actually like. Every other title holders, I can't stand. We have Becky Cringe. We have Charlotte Flair. We have Roman Reigns. We have fucking the Usos, who don't deserve it because one of them had a fucking DUI for the third fucking time. We have the U.S. champion, Damian Priest, who is still fucking boring, even though they're trying a new shit with him where he has double personalities. Wow, that's never been fucking done before.
We have Shinsuke Nakamura. Regardless what mid-card title you give him the tag titles, you give him the U.S. title, you even give him the IC title, his title reigns always fucking suck. They're always boring. And then you have the pointless, useless women's tag titles that are never going to be defended because there's not a single women's tag team left in the women's tag division. There's only one fucking team left in this abysmal tag division. I hate every fucking person holding these titles except for RK-Bro because at least they are fucking interesting. That's it. The title scene is fucking dead. It's so dead.
Where the fuck is AJ Styles?
I don't know where AJ Styles is. He's been gone since 2 weeks. Either he's fucking injured or something happened. I don't know. I have no idea. We're going to have the Street Profits versus the fucking AJ Omos for no reason whatsoever. I don't know why we're still having them as a tag team at this point because this is holding AJ Styles back way down. Omos is fucking terrible. He's so fucking green.
AJ Styles was recently saying that Omos is going to be a champion soon.
Oh, God. AJ must be saying that drunk. Because if they give this fucker a title, we're screwed. He's terrible. You think this guy can...
Just like
AJ's drunk.
You know, probably a week ago, maybe not even. 5 days ago, I guess.
AJ's drinking some fucking moonshine or whatever because he's fucking drunk. This guy can't fucking cut a promo to save his life. You want to give this fucking guy the fucking title?
He can't even fucking
title?
Fall down. He can't even fall down.
No, he's high. He's high on something, or he's drinking some moonshine out of your mind. So, yeah.
By the way, if you're watching the game live, as you're tuning in to Pitiful Radio, the Astros, I think they're down to their final dagger. I can't quite see the fucking screen from here, but I think they're down to their final dagger. But I digress. Christian?
Yeah, so to continue on, we had Finn Balor versus Chad Gable. Oh, man, this people
Stop.
Who like technical
Stop.
Wrestling will go crazy, you know? They would go crazy.
This is a great, dude, this fucking showcase what Gable is capable of. Gable
is
another one of them guys that's fucking just being totally misused. Colossally fucking mis-fucking managed. I mean, it's just fucked up. This guy, despite his size, he can fucking entertain on the mic. He can fucking, you know, he can lead. I'm hoping that they make a stable with this guy. He was seeking, he's still looking for people. He was out there fucking campaigning to fucking Big E, that Big E should join his fucking stable. So I don't know about all that, but... obviously, they're going to feed Chad Gable to Big E in the near future.
So, yeah, Finn Balor.
And this
I
one's
see
over.
Nothing in
him. Braves win.
Yeah. Finn Balor, I see nothing in him. I have no invested in him. Fuck Finn Balor. He wins. But the real guy who suffers the most is fucking Otis. Look what the fuck they done to him, man. Like, Otis used to be funny a little bit. He had a personality. Now fucking look at him. They shaved his fucking head like a fucking buffoon. He has no fucking character. He fucking walks around like a fucking giant 2x4. He's lifeless. He's fucking boring. Otis fucking sucks. They fucking ruined him. They ruined Otis. He's ruined.
I'd agree with that. I mean, for right now, yeah. I mean, the idea of the Alpha Academy or whatever is kind of cool. Like, that gimmick would have worked before, and they've done similar gimmicks in the past. Gable is a great wrestler. Finn, man, in my opinion, at one time, Finn was one of the best wrestlers, and I don't see why he still can't be, but it's the WWE style. It's like now, especially since I've been watching AEW and they're allowed to go balls to the wall, it's like I notice the WWE isn't going balls to the wall. Like whenever they do more, whenever they do a big spot, I'm like, oh, look at them go. You know, they're doing something. But they really don't do it like this. It's not the same product at all in the ring.
Boring.
So I thought, but Balor could do that.
I thought it was a great match, dude, and I'm glad that they
is good.
That Chad Gable is getting you know these high profile matches. He's not doing Shorty G anymore. I don't know when the hell he switched back to Chad
right.
Gable. That's cool. But going back to the, did we get to Damian Priest yet, or do we skip that?
We're getting to that
2x4 match.
We're getting to that
1x4 match. Damian Priest versus T-Bar was my shit, man.
Well, hey, wait a minute, man. I thought it was a great match, this whole Chad Gable fucking, who was
yeah.
it? I mean, the match was fucking
Finn
solid.
Balor.
Yeah, the
no,
match
I'm
was
not
solid.
Complaining about the match.
And there's
going to
be another match.
Good.
There's going to be another match because Chad Gable already put it out there, challenging for a yeah. fucking, either a strong man or a fucking 2 out of 3 or some shit like that.
Yeah.
It's out there on Twitter land. You can
yeah.
look for it for yourself, but it's out there.
Yeah. So we go to the U.S. champion, Damian Priest, with his fucked up gimmick of him being, you know, having double personality that just came out of nowhere. So, yeah, he's. So
can
they
I
have
comment?
A no disqualification match. Yeah, they have a no disqualification match. The match was good for the most part, but there was one problem with this. There was barely no disqualifications. Like they only did what a kendo stick to the ribs, and then one table spot. Wow, what a no DQ match, man! Like.
Right.
You had 30 minutes. You could have done
wait.
So much more in that fucking time.
Exactly.
Fuck. That was horrible.
The chair spot was intense, but, right? It was the chair spot at the end that was the big intense moment.
Yeah, that
you're
was
saying
about
they just
it.
Waited too long. They waited
boring.
Too long.
Here's the thing that I noticed.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing that I noticed, first and foremost, though. Was they're trying to sell me Damian Priest, okay? And up until this match, okay, I was still on the Damian Priest, you know, I was still riding Damian Priest, right? Even though after last week I found it highly unorthodox, the fucking chains that he had and shit, because I recently started tuning back into WWE and shit, and this Damian Priest thing came about last week and shit, and it took me by surprise that they would do that with him, right? He's almost like a tweener now, and it's like an intentional, it's a weird fucking thing, and I don't like it, but I digress. But anyway, what I caught from this fucking match, and yeah, it got the length and shit, but man, Damian Priest was off on a lot of his fucking moves. For them to be fucking showcasing this guy the way they're fucking showcasing and pushing him and shit, you would think that his fucking moves would be fucking on point and fucking tight and shit. And it looked to me like he missed a lot of his shit. He missed a lot of his marks. And you can go back and listen and check it out, agree or disagree with me. I wouldn't mind. But yeah, that's what I saw. I saw him miss the mark quite a bit. It was a good match. And it did have length and shit, but yeah, he was off his mark quite a bit.
Yeah. So, yeah, afterwards, a guy who they turned heel for no reason whatsoever, Apollo Crews, because he's a loser, comes out of nowhere. He comes out of catering and decides, you know, for some odd reason, he thinks he deserves aside the U.S. Championship match, U.S. title, even though he's done absolutely nothing since losing his IC title on SmackDown and doing nothing.
He came out of
fucking
catering.
Seriously, no matter what they do with Apollo Crews, whether they turn him face or heel, they always will make him a schmuck. I told you guys since fucking day one that this
I'm
fucking heel
that.
Run... I told you guys this heel run was a fucking failure from day one
when they gave him the fucking accent. And look, behold, it's a fucking failure. The crowd did not give a shit about him when he came out.
But
and
I mean, at
still
this point, what are you going to do with him? Are you going to have him
fire
go
pretty
him
obvious
fucking shuck and jive?
Just release him.
They should have made him Uha Nation from the beginning. He should have been able to have been booked like I don't know. He should have been able to have been booked like himself. He was just a badass athlete. Him and Ricochet were both badass athletes, and they tried different things with him, and they just, I don't know. But, I mean, they did try to book him like that in the beginning, and it didn't work. So, I don't know. It's not his fault that it didn't work. I think that those gimmicks can be pulled off because we see characters like those guys in AEW. And other promotions. So I don't know. But I guess overall that guy, yeah, he needs to stop that gimmick. And I was going to say my takeaway is that I could totally hear when they're pumping in sounds into the crowd. Mm-hmm. Like they were doing it on this episode, I feel like, big time. Because the crowd's just sitting there stone-faced. Like sometimes they look angry. And then there's like loud booing and cheering and stuff. And I'm like, maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist, but it sounded like they were piping in boos and chants and stuff.
No, look,
I mean,
no, they don't give a fuck about
that. I've been to the Toyota Center, Kevier, and, I mean, honestly, it sounds like that at times, even in there.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
like,
I know.
Is it because of
the crowd is loud?
Here's the thing, bro. This is what I get, bro. Sorry for interrupting, but this is what I get. I hear the eruption of the fucking crowd and shit, right? But then, and you know, you look, okay, so you think it's echo, right? Because echo has a lot to do when you're in, you know, inside the big fucking arena and shit. But then you look and it's like, it's not sold out. There's like fucking, you know, 38% of the seats are not sold.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, what the fuck? What gives? How is it capable that it's so loud? They're definitely piping in fucking crowd noise.
You know, I just want to say that this match wasn't as bad as they're making it out to sound. I think the table spot was really ugly, mainly because I think T-Bar just weighed so much that he just fucking annihilated the table. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but he took a bump from, like, the fucking ring apron, like, to the fucking mat on the floor. Like, the table just fucking exploded. And maybe it's because they're using, like, a spinner table now or whatever it was, dude, but it didn't break the same way, and it looked pretty fucking brutal. Another thing was is that Damian Priest, I kind of got behind it. If they do the split personality thing, I kind of hope they don't do it. I kind of hope they ease back from it and just kind of make him like a little bit unhinged all the time, you know? But I dug it, dude. When he was beating him up with a fucking chair, like, I thought that was fucking great. And, you know, I think the crowd was piped in, but, you know, I did see some, you know, pretty legitimate reactions from the crowd. I mean, that was just me. But it got me on Damian Priest train a little bit. It even got me on the T-Bar train a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, I've been on the Mace Bar, or the Mace train for a little bit. But I think you know I didn't hate it. I'll say this.
Yeah,
Christian,
right,
is
so
that
we're
it for the AEW report now? I mean,
I agree. Damian Priest looked pretty good this time. I didn't get to talk about Priest, but yeah, Damian Priest this time. I wasn't hating that. That was the point in the show where I was like, oh, this is actually good. They're doing new things. This is good. And the guy was giving it 110%. There was these moments where he made badass faces where I was like, oh, he's probably going to watch that later and think it looks really cool. You know what I mean? It's funny.
Yeah. So one more thing before we end the review portion, we talk about AEW. We go back to last week's SmackDown for just one thing that happened. You know, stupidity at its finest. Charlotte Flair opens the show. She says, You know, fuck Charlotte Flair at this point. You know, I every time she speaks, I think it's the real person, not the character that's talking, because she says the same fucking thing over and over. Her promos are the same fucking thing. How she's the queen, how she's the opportunity, how she's a great champion, how she's better than Becky. It's the same fucking promo. My God, she's so boring. And so is Sasha, too. She comes out next. She says the same fucking shit, too. These women are boring. How she's the blueprint, how she's the boss, how she's legit and all that. It's the same fucking shit. The same shit we've seen in 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20 fucking one. These people are the same fucking characters all these fucking years, and it's boring. Say what you want about Bayley, but at least she tried to reinvent herself when she turned heel, and it worked. Why can't they reinvent themselves? My God. So yeah. What?
I was laughing.
Yeah. So Shotzi comes out. Shotzi Blackheart from NXT comes out. She challenges Charlotte. The match was a clusterfuck. These women are terrible, had terrible chemistry. Shotzi is horrible. She can't wrestle for shit. And I'm sick of Charlotte Flair doing a top rope moonsault. It's the same move. How this match ended was that Shotzi got distracted by Sasha Banks inadvertently because Sasha's the babyface now. Charlotte beats Shotzi, doesn't put over a young talent like always, again, you know, like always. And then for whatever fucking reason, I don't know why, for some reason they turn Shotzi heel, attacking Sasha Banks. Let's turn the most popular character that people actually like and turn her heel for no reason whatsoever, no build-up, no hype. They just turn her heel. They just attack Sasha. She attacks Sasha, and that's it. She's a fucking heel. What the fuck was this? This was the opening of SmackDown last fucking week. What the fuck was this? Train wreck.
It's a fucking train
wreck garbage TV.
I wanted to see Sasha and Charlotte, and I wanted to see it happen right then. I wanted them to cut to the chase and give us, like, a big match, which I know we've seen before, but I wanted to get to that. And then Shotzi came out, and I was kind of like, oh, I don't want to. And then Sasha stayed out there, and I was telling my wife, I was like, Sasha's still here. This isn't even worth watching. And I started fast-forwarding it. I watched, like, the first couple minutes of the match, and then I fast-forwarded it to, like, the middle of the match, and I watched a little bit. And I don't know. I still, nothing against the Shotzi girl. I think that Charlotte's badass, and I want Charlotte to, like, be happy in her career because I think she's a badass wrestler, and I want more out of her. But I mean, it's just not work. Something's not working there either. Charlotte looks fucking awesome in the ring, and I like the moonsault. I like her whole moveset. I like everything about how she works. So I know it's just different strokes for different folks, but I want to see her fight fucking Sasha Banks because I like Sasha Banks like that too. I want to see good matches out of these people that I like and not fucking matches that are just thrown away by some fucking shitty finish. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, I agree. I'm in the same boat. Yeah. I fucking think, you know, like, I don't want to see, to me, it's all being wasted. We're not seeing the shit that we wanted to see. Like, I want to see this when it matters. This whole Sasha, I mean, like, it's mattered, but, like, Sasha's never had her fucking comeuppance, her true fucking comeuppance. And, like, I don't know. I guess we're never going to see it.
She's had successful runs, and, I mean, she could again. I mean, they've had all these firsts. Like, they've all been, the horsewomen have all been a part of all these bigger-than-life, like, things that wrestlers could have never dreamed of being a part of, right? And then now they're floating in this weird limbo. And like Christian said, there's this tag team division that doesn't have tag teams. There's two titles. Like, it's just way too stretched thin. I don't know.
What about the fact, what's your opinion about Shotzi turning heel for no reason, though?
That was, I mean, it makes her look like a badass. Her finish looks kind of stupid, that senton off of the top rope, that senton thing. Like, she builds that up, and then she just kind of flops down on him. I don't really know too much about Shotzi, but she wasn't horrible, but She also didn't, like, stand out to me a lot. But I don't know anything about her. So I'm sure if I watch more, I might like her.
All right. Well, the report is over.
And now, resident watchdog Christian from Philly with AEW Weekly.
Well, I'm sorry to break some hearts tonight, you know, those AEW marks. But even AEW can have fucking stinkers, you know. And last week's episode, Halloween edition, was a stinker, all right? Because every wrestling show that has a holiday episode will always be a fucking stinker, no matter what company you're on, all right? There will never be a good holiday episode in professional wrestling, not in the WWE, not in TNA, and especially not in AEW, all right? So, let's go with the positive, all right? The one positive of this show. There is just one nugget. There's like a few nuggets of positives on this show. One of them was the first match of the night, which was CM Punk versus Bobby Fish. Great match. You know, technical. It was good. CM Punk sold his leg like a champ. Bobby Fish was also good. But of course, CM Punk won. Now, the question is, because I think CM Punk's a little angry because there was a botched finish to that match. You see, Bobby Fish kicked out, but the ref still called for the bell. So either they're going to play that out in either that's a botch, or they're going to play it as a storyline, and we're going to see this feud continue. But in the latter, I don't think that's going to happen because they're teasing a match between Eddie Kingston and CM Punk. So I think that was a fucking botch, and CM Punk looked fucking pissed off about it.
I didn't notice the botch finish when it happened. I saw the Kingston and Punk backstage thing, and Kingston's so cool. The more I see of that guy, like, that guy's becoming a favorite of mine. But yeah, no, I'd rather see Punk and Kingston again than Punk and Bobby Fish. But I was thinking when I was watching that match that it was a good match and that it was pretty cool to see these guys wrestling each other. Because it's just like one of those dream matches that you like, and I'm like, AEW's just every week giving us these like matchups that you wouldn't think to see on regular TV.
Yeah,
it's cool. So Minister? I mean, I'm still like, I think Punk's still going to do good, and I think that if he goes against Kingston, then he's gonna win. But I think Eddie needs to win some shit too.
Yeah, Punk, Minister, Punk.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead,
Minister, your thoughts. You texted us earlier that you thought this show was shit. What is your verdict on the first match of the show? Minister?
Did we lose him?
Oh.
This is madness.
Great. All right, so we continue.
You go
on.
Ahead, Albert.
I just saw, you know, bits and pieces of the AEW show, mainly the Young Bucks, you know, Ghostbuster Fiasco, whatever, or the Elite Ghostbuster Fiasco. But I will say this, dude, I think I mentioned this before, that CM Punk is having a fucking 1994 Hulk Hogan moment, you know, where everybody was fucking, like, super excited, like, fucking, you know, driving a fucking back of a Dodge Viper at fucking Universal Studios and shit. You know, like the internet or the magazines are fucking buzzing, and here's fucking Hulk Hogan returning to wrestling, and he's going to be in WCW. That's fucking crazy. And then you get it, and he's over there fiddling around with the Dungeon of Doom and, you know, the fake fucking Andre the Giant's son, the Giants, Paul White, you know, and he's fucking around with Kevin Sullivan. And it's just like, dude, like, this is kind of lackluster, dude. And so CM Punk needs his fucking NWO fucking Hollywood Hulk Hogan moment. And I think they see that. I think it's coming, you know, pretty quickly. Hopefully, you know, not, you know, within the next, you know, hopefully not, you know, within like 2 years, hopefully quicker than that. But, you know, I think we're going to get something that's going to make it a little bit more interesting and make things, you know, a little bit more watchable with CM Punk, because I'm with a bunch of people online too. You know, it's like, I agree with them when I say that, that, you know, CM Punk is kind of stale right now, dude. And he's not really wrestling like he used to. He doesn't have, like, dude, there was people like chanting his name for fucking 7 years, right? We finally get him back and it's just like, eh. Like, it just shows you how fickle fucking the internet wrestling community is. So, you know that there's some gears turning up there in AEW and CM Punk's mind. Like, what are we going to do to make this fucking shit popping again? And hopefully you don't fucking waste the opportunity to turn him heel and or something like that and do something huge like the fucking NWO. I'm not saying anything like the NWO, but a moment equivalent to that. And I hope that's coming soon.
All right, now we go to the controversial moments of the show. That is Cody Rhodes' promo that he did on this show, addressing the fans, the crowd, about never turning heel, because he loves us. He loves the crowd. He loves the fans, and he will never turn heel.
Mm.
Well, that's a fucking cop-out. I'm sorry. You have lost some of my respect for that. You're copping out, all right? You're not, by you saying that, you kind of make us look like idiots. You kind of disrespected us, you know? That's a cop-out, in my opinion.
I think
just
that's
going
when
on the
started,
breaking kayfabe, yeah?
That's when they started booing him, is whenever he said, I'm never going to turn, and then they started booing him, like, right as soon as he said that.
Yeah.
They were cheering. They were going along with what he was saying up until that point. And then I want to say that, dude, Cody Rhodes has cut some of my favorite promos. Y'all know that Cody Rhodes is my boy. He's the ultimate babyface. Always has been. I love him. He's a good heel, too. He's really good as a heel. But this promo, top three Cody Rhodes promos for me, bro. It's up there. This was a great promo. And I was fucking marking out the whole time. And then what happened afterwards, I was marking out. But, yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you totally, Christian, if there was more you wanted to say on it.
No, it's fine. Albert, what
I mean,
is your opinion?
He's, like, such a lovable babyface, dude. Why are people shitting on him so hard? I don't know. I don't get it. And he does it's so funny. Andrade's whole thing when he came out, like, his whole promo made it so fucking good, too. I wonder if, like, Jericho helped him write his promo backstage. He's like, come out there and tell him that nobody out here likes you and nobody out here likes me. And
well,
what do you say? I think it started with that stupid tattoo.
No, I honestly think the reason why people boo him is because there's a lot more cooler people in AEW than him. I'm sorry. He's not that cool. I'm sorry. Cody Rhodes is not that cool. Okay?
Yeah.
That's my opinion, and I think that's why people boo him, because compared to fucking Malachi Black, CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole, Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, Cody is pretty much fucked. I'm sorry, he's just fucked in popularity. He's fucked.
Yeah, I mean, if Cody was a heel and Dan did what the crowd wanted, that's the other thing. That's the bullshit. He's talking about the narrative and stuff, and, like, he was, like, breaking the fourth wall, definitely. It was like a pipe bomb promo, kind of, you know, not as impactful, but he was breaking the fourth wall for sure. And he pointed that out, that the crowd, like, hated the narrative that he was trying to tell them. He was like, and then he said, well, I'm not going to go heel just because you want me to. And in a way, that's him going heel, too. Like, they started booing him, and we're going to get him and another heel. We're going to get these weird matchups. I'm kind of cool with seeing how it works out with the experiment. Just like, I don't know, something organic is bound to happen, right? I don't think that he's doing anything wrong. Like,
no,
Don Anderson,
so,
like, the whole recipe is good. It's just that the AEW fans are kind of marks, or smart marks, rather, and they're like, I don't know. They should just be, I don't know. And maybe it eats up time that other people could have.
So am I back?
Yeah, now you're back.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
All right.
Before you do anything, you need to do a station ID break.
Do we give a station ID break?
Yeah,
we'll be right back. So then I guess we'll be right back after the station ID for Christian. Right? I think we're going to get that, maybe. I don't know. Who the fuck knows? We've been hijacked.
Oh, well,
we've been hijacked
here tonight. Yeah, we're already at the station ID.
There is no goddamn station ID tonight.
Yeah,
go ahead and go on. No, but
yeah,
I had something to say, though. I had something to say about the fucking, about the whole fucking show.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
You know what song that is, my friend?
No, I don't know who the fuck that is.
You know who it is? I think we got you on this one time. On, maybe twice.
Is it Ice Train?
God damn it, hell of a memory. Kirsten, damn it, you will not be denied. Wow. Welcome back, Fair Foy Radio.
Hello, creatures of the night. This is Christian from Philly, and you're listening to Fatal Foy Radio, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Get with it, bitches. Yeah.
So... We're going to have Minister of Sinister say his opinions because he was rudely interrupted by Block Shock. So, Minister, what is your opinions on the show itself?
I don't know if it was Block Talk or if it was Breaker Boy or whatever the fuck his name is on NXT. Breaker Boy?
Yeah.
Breaker Man?
Braun,
but I digress. Breaker. Oh, Braun Breaker. But yeah, I digress. No, man, the whole thing, it started off, to me, yeah, it started off all predictable and shit with this whole CM Punk thing. I did dig the whole afterward shenanigans, you know, in the back and shit. I thought that was cool. It was an added layer to the shit that's going on. And by the way, this Kingston's had, you know, some badass shit going on, him and fucking Daniel Bryan. And now him and CM Punk, who the fuck knows where this is going. But I dig this Kingston cat. He had that merchandise before this. Who was the feud before this? He had that merchandise that said it said some shit about come on, Christian, help me out. Who was his feud before this that ended at the pay-per-view, last pay-per-view?
Miro?
Miro, yeah, and he's like God's favorite. His T-shirt said,
"Redeem these nuts, redeem these nuts."
Yeah, redeem these nuts. I mean, you gotta love that shit, and I fucking love this guy for that. And so, yeah, I'm on board with that, and I like how they're doing that. But you know, at the same time, you just had to know that CM Punk was gonna win this match, and that's what I didn't like about it. And then after that, we have the whole shit with the what? What was after that?
After it was the Cody Rhodes promo where he did a cop out, you know, where he says he'll never turn you on.
And that was another one of those things right there where they bastardized the fucking secrets of the whole thing, you know, the kayfabe. You know, this whole shit of I will never turn, he said.
It's a cop out.
You know, a heel turn. He basically exposing the business which we talked about last week. I hate that shit. And God damn it, man. I mean, and the whole thing with Anderson, like, he needs to stay out of the fucking ring. And out of the whole fucking, I mean, come on, man. Don't get me wrong. I love Arn Anderson. I loved him as the fucking Four Horsemen. Everything he did was great. But shit, man, he's past his fucking years to be in the ring.
I think it's cool. I think Cody's playing everybody, dude. I think Cody is going to turn heel, and he's playing everybody and saying, I'm not going to do it. He was like, when he was talking to Arn, he was getting like all close to him, putting his hand on his shoulder. Like, it could be viewed as like he was being sincere with him, or it could be viewed as he was like kind of trying to draw him in and earn his trust before he betrays his ass.
Well, but then you have the whole thing also with, and you know, that's a possibility, bro. But then you have the whole thing with fucking Ídolo coming out. Andrade Ídolo, who, by the way, happy fucking birthday. Right.
Yeah.
He came out, great fucking segment on his part. I mean, I wish I could understand him better, his fucking language, his English. But shit, and then he's got this fucking nobody with him. And that's what's fucked up, man, because it should have been fucking Ric Flair. It should have been Bobby Flair with him. And
well, that's
this whole fucking bullshit with this fucking show that nobody watches, over this fucking show that nobody watches, and now fucking Ric Flair's got fucking everybody down his fucking back and shit for something he did in the fucking 70s and 80s.
It was at 2002.
Whatever the fuck it was, man, it was, you know, I mean, nevertheless, he did what he did, and he's fucking paying for it now, so many years later and shit. And like, and, you know, you can't help but fucking feel sorry for fucking, because this could have been great. Then you think about, okay, so, fuckface, you know, so we still have Arn Anderson in the ring and shit. So, goddamn it, how great would that be? If it was Ric Flair in there with Bobby Ídolo, you know, against fucking Cody and Anderson, oh my God, that would be killer. It would draw in people from all kinds of fucking, you know, so many different categories of people, different people that remember the shit, that remember the Horsemen and shit. It would have that layer on it. But, of course, we can't have it because Flair's been canceled.
It would have gone something like this. Did I? Did I? Woo! Did I hear that you were the man? No, you're not the man. He's the man. Andrade's the man. And you're not the man until you beat the man. Woo!
Woo! I no longer have control of the panel, so I can't just look for, you know, I can't just type in woo and it comes up. I no longer have control of the panel because of whatever the fuck happened earlier.
So one last thing, you know, we had the tag match between the Elite and, you know, the Dark Order with the whole goofy shit. You know, it is what it was. You know, it was Halloween. We'll excuse it, you know. But we'll not excuse it was the worst match of the whole show. The worst match of the whole show, Britt Baker versus Abaddon, you know, Rampage, the main event. I don't know what the fuck they were thinking, booking this shit. This was horrible. Britt Baker deserves so much fucking better. They could have booked anybody to face Britt Baker. She's the world champion, and they book her with the girl who can't fucking wrestle. I don't give a
bro,
fuck. Her gimmick sucks. I'm sorry.
That's not what I took from this personally. Although I see your point, it fucking screams, and it screams loud and clear. I can hear it. But what I took from this was that fucking Britt Baker is fucking capable of working with fucking trash.
Yeah.
Because they gave her fucking shit to fucking work with. And she turned it in. She did as best she fucking could to fucking make it a a passable moment for me, because I was actually able to pass this moment and digest it. I thought it was all right. Like, her work that she did to cover up all the shit was to me, it was as good as it gets. I'm a fan of fucking Britt Baker all of a sudden.
Yeah, Britt Baker is one of the best things AEW has, dude. Britt Baker is, like, she's awesome wrestler, but she also is, like, drop dead gorgeous, of course. You know, I'm, like, kind of, like, crushing on her super hard.
She covered up that shit, bro. She covered it up. Like,
yeah,
it was shit, like Christian said it was. But she covered it up and made it fucking passable.
Abaddon needs to fucking go. She's terrible, bro. I don't know why they fucking hire her. She doesn't fucking wrestle good. She's awful. She needs to go. I'm sorry.
Albert, are you with us?
Oh,
he's gone.
Sorry.
Oh.
I'm here. I've been here.
Where
I've been here beating my head against
the wall. Did you see that matchup? Did you see Britt and Abaddon?
No, I didn't see it, man. That's why I was kind of like hanging back on the AEW talk just a little bit, because I only saw bits and pieces of it. But I did see the main parts of it that a lot of people complained about. But I guess we'll get to that.
I just think, and I think I'm still mad at WWE. This week I had like a good time watching it. I was like, oh, this isn't as bad. This is, like I said, I was having like good feelings watching it. But when I watch AEW, I have fun the whole fucking time, dude. I like every match, and I'm like, oh, this is sick. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just like that new toy, shiny new toy kind of syndrome or something. But
to me,
I like all their matches.
To me, it's already worn. The luster's already worn off of it. Like, I'm starting to get critical of it.
But that's
shit.
A good thing.
And like, there's a lot of things that I don't understand.
Yeah.
Everything is a fucking five man, and
but
fucking,
that's a good
thing.
Well, the main event being the match that it was, like, that was stupid. They shouldn't have done the Super Elite versus the Dark Order as the main event. That should have been earlier in the show. It was a dumb match, and they
you know what?
Trying to
that,
like
you know what? I hadn't even thought of that. But yeah, that makes sense what you're saying there. Although I did find that match entertaining to a degree of where, I can understand that it was supposed to be funny. I'm not going to be critical of a match like that on fucking Halloween and shit. WWE has put on plenty of fucking shit like that throughout the years on Halloween, And I mean, God bless the fucking wrestlers that have had to fucking do a lot of the crazy shit that they've done on Halloween to entertain us. You know what I mean? And so that's what we had this time around. However, I did fucking love that shit at the end, the little twist they put with the fucking horsey.
Yeah. I mean, that's why
that guy with the fucking spray bottle, that was so fucking hilarious, man. I was in my recliner, and I was fucking marking out, man. My fucking arm was fucking flapping up and down, hitting the fucking armchair. But it was highly entertaining. I mean, that was fun. Could I not laugh at that? It was fucking great. The whole Stay Puft shit being Hangman Page.
Hell yeah.
I fucking loved it. I fucking marked out for it even.
Now we got an interesting part of this whole AEW report, because this is very interesting. I don't think a lot of people know this. Maybe Cavier knows it, but maybe Albert and Minister don't know it. Maybe they do. By now, everybody's heard by now, the AEW Impact deal is officially over. That's right. This, the forbidden door for AEW Impact is officially closed, means no more crossovers between the two companies. And the big question was it worth it? Fuck no, it wasn't fucking worth it. What the fuck was this? What was the point of all this? Just so fucking Kenny Omega go to fucking Impact and bring his two useless fucking goons.
Fuck this
Carl
shit,
Anderson,
I'm out.
And,
fuck this shit, I'm out.
Gallows, and fucking having Christian Cage go there for just a little bit. This was fucking pointless, this fucking deal. That means Don Callis is no longer coming back in AEW. So now Kenny Omega's heel run is pointless now. Because that was the whole reason why Kenny turned heel in the first place, Don Callis. And now that he's gone, what's the point of Kenny being a heel now? So, yeah. The deal
Man,
was not
but,
fucking
Wait a minute.
Working.
Wait a minute.
That's a good
You're
point.
Telling me that this fucking Don Callis is no longer going to be a part of AEW?
No.
How is that so?
He's in Impact. He's employed with Impact. That means he's not coming back
Fuck
in AEW.
That shit. They gotta fucking give him the cash to come to fucking AEW. He's fucking entertaining. With
well,
his tweet
bad.
Suit and shit.
It's over. Over, fam.
Pretty wild.
It's over.
Yeah, that's crazy because it seems like they didn't. They're not gonna have a way to wrap up that storyline, I guess. They're just going to leave it hanging. He's gone already. He wasn't there this week, huh?
I mean,
he wasn't there this week. He wasn't there last week.
I mean, like, you know how Russo is offering his services? Hey, I'd like to offer my services. I'll go be Don Callis. I'll wear a pink suit, my fat ass.
Yeah?
He just
no,
called me that Don Callis. Fuck you.
The deal was pointless. Just like I said that Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson are fucking pointless. They were the worst members of the Elite because they didn't do fucking jack shit. They were boring. They didn't do jack shit. They were horrible. Pointless.
Man, bro. So we're here at the point where you're being critical of AEW.
It makes sense.
It's...
And I'm going to say this, dude. Like, AEW has... I'm sorry. Impact Wrestling has some star power coming, and I don't know. I know Braun Strowman has pretty much inked a deal with them already. I know they're probably keeping it secret, and they're probably looking at Bray Wyatt as well. So they're on the verge of coming back. I said I don't know about Bray Wyatt. We don't know about that yet. We're not 100% sure.
No,
I've heard that rumor.
But if it's true, dude, I mean like. Man, they're going to be the number three. I mean, they already are the number three company, but they're going to be strong. Number three. And, yeah, that's all I'm going to say. With that, I'm going to have to head out, guys, because I'm in my pantry, my kitchen pantry studio, and my charger
nice.
Is on the other side of the house, and my lovely girlfriend's asleep.
I got to go soon, too, buddy. We're wrapping it up. Good
yeah.
to talk to you,
yeah.
Albert,
no,
next week.
Right on. So peace out,
okay.
Albert, and
talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us as always.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to close this off now, too. Thank you all for listening in to Fatal 4 Radio. I have been... Christian from Philly, join us next week where we'll see if the WWE could be still shit or they could actually manage to be decent a little. Until then, see you all next week, motherfuckers.
Christian from Philly.
Yeah. I'll go next. Shout out to Jaime for calling in for local wrestling. We should try to go to that if we can, Chuck. I messaged him. But yeah, we should go. I think I'm free that night. My buddy's birthday is that
yeah.
night. But I think I can pull off both, maybe. I might try to do both because I think they're
Let's
close
check
by
it out.
Each other. But that being said, there's another guy in AEW that I really like the story they're telling with. That we didn't get to talk about the Dante Martin character, man. The guy's like a high flyer. And he.
Oh, yeah, and now he has Evo Rush. Or,
Yeah.
Yeah,
Rush manager, and that
yeah.
story is really good. And the dude is a super cool wrestler,
like
and yeah. And then Jaime was talking about everybody that they got going on indie wrestlers down here in Houston, dude. Ninja Mac. Google Ninja Mac if y'all don't know about Ninja Mac. Check out that dude. Everybody that's on that show that he talked about. I mean, it's gonna be
so
gonna be an awesome
November
show, so.
20th.
And it's the good, the bad, and the fake. Local Wrestling on Facebook. You can check it out. Jaime Martinez. And that show is going to be at the Houston Premier Arena. Right? We're going to have two table or two hardcore matches and one cage match. No, two death matches and one cage match.
It's called
Loco
Rules.
Check that out. And yeah, we definitely need to get tickets on that. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wad. Peak level there of applause for Kevin West. We appreciate that. And, hey, we appreciate you listening to us each and every week on Fatal 4-Way Radio. And I'll tell you what, we would not be doing this if you were not listening. So thank you so much for listening. And, hey, for Peacemaker Kevin West, for Christian from Philly, and for Rancho Punk Rocker Albert Inspected, I am Internet Radio Zone, reminding you to keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it sexy. Peace out, motherfuckers. We'll see you next time on Fatal 4-Way Radio.